dated October 26, 1993. I'm a former major league pitcher, Dick Costell, in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Dick, in Sydney, born January 18, 1942, in Lakewood, New Jersey. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Can you tell me how many sisters and brothers in your family?
Well, I have one older brother, Doug, who's a couple years older than I am. And my mother and myself. My father died when I was about 25.
I see. All right. How did you get started playing ball?
I think the nice thing about it was my dad, he was always there for me. He said, son, I'll never come to you and ask you to play, but when you want to play, you come to me and ask me to play with you.
So how old was that then when you really got going? Little League games like that?
Probably about eight, just before Little League. Little League didn't come to Lakewood until I was about 10 and a half, so I only got to play.
Oh, really? So you didn't have any Little League program?
No, there was nothing.
Really? Okay.
Sam.
All right. So then you played some Little League?
Yes, I played 2 years in Little League.
Right. Okay, so then you eventually, I assume, got to high school.
Yeah, well, after Little League, I pitched in Little League, and I wasn't that big at the time, and my father, you know, it's a big transition from Little League to Babe Ruth. You've got quite a few feet, you know, in one year's time.
From 45 to 60 feet.
Yeah, you're going from 45 to 60 feet in a year's time.
Mm-hmm.
And my father didn't want me to pitch, and I never did pitch until halfway through my junior year in high school.
Is that right? Wow. What did you play in high school?
First base.
Played first, okay. Did you like pitching?
I loved it. In fact, I was hoping to pitch earlier than that, and Larry Desire, who was, he's a classic. He coached in Lakewood, I would say, probably 30 years. And his son, Larry, who now coaches Jackson, played with him in high school. But he didn't think I could pitch, and we had Joe Mayer, who was a JV baseball coach, and he said to Larry, you got to give this kid a chance. So halfway through my junior year, he gave him a chance, and that's where I started.
And how'd you do?
I did real well. I ended up 5-1.
That was like half of your junior year, right?
Yeah, half my junior year.
How'd the team do?
Pardon me?
How'd the team do?
We won the Shore Conference.
Good.
Class B. We were in the Class B Conference, and we won the Shore Conference.
And then senior year?
Senior year, I was 6-3. Nothing outstanding. We went and we lost the state championship to South River. Andy Dustal, who later played in Detroit, pitched against me there. And but we had a successful year. Now this, I think we had a better team in 59 than we did in 60, but I enjoyed those years tremendously.
Yeah. So after high school, what did you do?
Well, the day I graduated, I signed professionally.
Okay, who signed you? Do you remember the name of the scout?
Yes, Frank Genovese and, George Genovese and Frank Bird.
Okay, they're from the Giants.
Right.
Okay. So from high school, you went to League?
I went to the Appalachian League in Virginia. Like I said, the day after graduation.
Really? The day after, huh? Maybe sometime in June.
June 23rd.
Wow. Okay, so this is 1960. So
right.
You go to the Appalachian League. Is that like a class what? What would you call that?
Well, now it would be A, but then it was Class D Rookie League.
Rookie League, right.
The classification.
So it's the Appalachian League. Do you recall the other teams in the league?
Bluefield, West Virginia, Kingsport, Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee. You're talking.
Okay. All right, just if you did.
Yeah,
if you did. Do you remember your manager at?
Jody Phipps.
Okay. How'd you do that?
I think I was 3-3. But the thing I remember most is that it was the first time away from home.
Right.
I was
big experience.
17 and a half years old.
Sure.
I was the only northern boy on the entire team.
Everybody's from the south.
Two of my teammates that year, Randy Hunley, who played some very successful years in the Cub organization, and Jimmy Ray Hart, they were two of my teammates. But I was homesick, and Jody Phipps called my dad, and they both talked me into staying, and I'm eternally grateful to both of them for it.
So you're having a little trouble adjusting, I'm sure. It was a big thing being so young.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably the youngest guy there, right?
I think I was.
Yeah.
Probably was.
How was it in that league? How were the fields and what were the conditions like?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing that people are always saying, oh, you're in the farm league, you're down at the farm, and they picture this bus ride for 97 hours and terrible fields and whatever. That's about as low as you can get at the professional level. And it was not that bad at all. Really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't travel too far. Most of all those towns you named are in the south, right?
Yeah, they were probably well, the farthest we had to travel was probably about 250 miles.
Okay. So how did the season end for you?
Well, it's a funny thing because you see guys come and go. There'd be about three or four different guys a week that would either get released and signed and whatever. And it was, I think, a major breakthrough just to make it through the season.
Especially at your age.
At any age.
Well, all right. So after that season ended, you came home, and what happened the following season?
The next year I went, and they sent me to Eugene in the Northwest League.
Eugene, Oregon.
I stayed there for about a month and a half, and I just wasn't getting any pitching in, so they sent me to Fresno and California.
Okay. Is this a step up from the Appalachian League?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of hard to look back and remember exactly what happened.
Just generally.
I can't remember yesterday.
Well, what I'm trying to say is you progressed there. Trying to track your growth to the majors.
Yeah, well, I mean, just about each year I progressed to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And in 4 years' time, I made it to the
Giants. Okay. Any other teammates or managers you recall on the way up? Now, this is the Northwest League, you said, in Eugene. That's the Northwest League. Was that a noticeably better league than the Appalachian League?
Well, yes, that was the B League, which was probably... it's kind of hard to say exactly what the classification would be today because they have changed so much.
Right.
I played with Jesus Alou there, Bill Hands. If I could just look back for a while, I could probably name a whole bunch more.
Okay.
But they were probably two of the biggest guys.
Yeah. What was the team that you played on last step for the majors? What was the
Tacoma.
Tacoma. Washington. It's all. That's a PCL,
Coast.
Which has traditionally been a good league.
Oh yeah, always have.
Even many years ago, before it was I guess it would be AAA now. It's probably.
Right. It's always been AAA.
Yeah. When did you finally get going pitching? You said that they weren't letting you pitch all that much early on in the.
Well,
the first step.
No, when I was at Eugene, they had a pretty good pitching staff there, and I was just still young.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want me to just sit there and watch other guys pitch, so they sent me down where I could pitch every first
right.
day.
And I assume you progressed from there.
Yeah, I did pretty well each year, and probably 64 was probably. Like, I was probably throwing the best I ever did in 64.
Okay.
And that's when the Giants brought me up towards the end of the year.
Okay, so you wrote up late in 64.
Right.
Okay, do you remember your first game?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
I joined the team in New York, Shea Stadium, and Alvin Dark was the manager. And he said, you're pitching day after tomorrow. So, well, that's fine, because, you know, you see so many guys go up and then they sit down for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then they try to pitch, and they're very ineffective because they haven't thrown at all. Well, my first game was against the Philadelphia Phillies, who were in first place, and being so close here to home, my wife, who was my fiancée at the time, she was there, my folks were there, my brother and his wife. and a lot of friends came to the game to watch me.
And was that at the Vet?
No,
that was before Shot Call. Oh, Connie Mack Stadium, okay.
Right.
So tell me about how you did, if you recall.
Well, I was winning 3-1 in the seventh inning, and I at that time I had a lot of trouble with blisters on my finger, and they were trying to fix it, but the blister fell out, and Alvin pulled me out of the game with a 3-1 lead, and I think Billy O'Dell had come in and given up a couple home runs. And, we ended up losing the game, but I left with a 3-1 lead.
What inning did you take out? Seventh inning, so you've done pretty well.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky.
Okay. How'd the season finish up for you? The record shows you were 1-2.
Right.
Tell me about you, what you think about it.
I had, the next game, I also pitched against Philadelphia in San Francisco. And it's one of my most memorable stories because I pitched against Jim Bunning, and it was which would later become the game of the week.
On NBC,
right?
On Saturday afternoon.
Right, and this was on national television. Except it wasn't called the game of the week then. It was just on national television. I pitched against Bunning, and at the end of 9, it was a 1-1 game. Going to the bottom of the 9th. And Jimmy Ray Hart comes up and he hits a tremendous shot to left field. Alex Johnson was playing for the Phillies then. He turned his back to the plate, watching the ball leave the park, and the old San Francisco wind brought it back in.
Was that right?
And I went out in the 10th inning and gave up a hit and a walk, and then they took me out. And Ron Herbel came in and gave up a base hit, and I ended up losing the game 3-1.
Another decent job.
No, it was. I was very pleased with.
You must have been encouraged.
Yeah, in fact, I had started 6 games and I pitched well. I think in 5 of them I pitched extremely well, except when luck was never on my side.
So how'd the season end? And you ended up seemed to be on a positive note. You must have been encouraged when the season ended.
Yeah. Well, I was just about. Before the season ended, Horace Stoneman, who was the owner of the Giants, had come up to me at a party that was held, and he said, "Dick, would you be too depressed if you got sent back to Tacoma next year?" And I'm saying to myself, I said, "Geez, I pitched well enough to stay here, and they need a left-handed starter. What's the deal?" And that was all that was said. He was led away and never said another word to me. And that was the end of that year until spring training the next year.
So then you started the year with Tacoma in 65, right?
No, 65, I went to spring training with the Giants.
Oh, okay. I wasn't understanding right. So you did start 65 spring training with the Giants.
Right.
And then they sent you to Tacoma after that.
Right, but we had Juan Marichal.
Right.
Gaylord Perry,
right.
Bobby Bolin, and I were—I think—were going to be the 4 starters for the
right. And that's when Horace Stoneman talked to you.
No, that was
the end of '64. It was the end of '64.
Right.
And you didn't respond to his question, really, did you?
No, because he was sort of led away by other members of the Giant staff.
Okay. So it's kind of surprising then that you started with Pena, with the Giants.
Well, it wasn't a surprise that I started spring training because I think they would probably have had to protect me anyway. But I went there and, you figure if you throw 19, 20 innings in spring training, it's a lot of innings. Especially with the starters. Gaylord Perry, Bob Marichal, and Bob Bolin. But I pitched 21 innings in spring training that year, and I gave up 1 run on the ball to third, and the next thing, Herman Franks, who took over for Alvin Dart, said, "Hey, lefty, you're going to Tacoma." That was probably the worst day of my professional career.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand what else could I do,
right?
And still get sent down. I give up 1 run in 21 innings.
Did you question him as to why you were being sent down?
There was no such thing as questioning. it's a lot different today. You know, you have to understand baseball then and baseball now to understand. There's no question you're just getting sent down. And then it started to dawn on me that what Horace Stoneham had said, you know, at the end of the year, would you be depressed if you were sent down? So I think this plan was already in effect.
That was there all along.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference if I
whether
gave
or not
up
you got
30
bombed
runs
or not.
There.
Right. Yeah. So. All right, so tell me how it was going at Tacoma. You were depressed, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I was depressed, but I was still throwing well. I had thrown, I think, which was probably still a record or whatever, I had thrown two no-hitters, one in 64 and one in 65 in Tacoma. Like I said, which I think still stands. I went, I'm saying, what do I have to do to get there? What do I have to do to get there? I've done the best I could. But I'm never a quitter. I always give the best I can. I didn't have a successful season as far as wins or losses, but I was still striking a lot of people out.
Mm-hmm.
By then, like, I was clocked, the year before, I was clocked at 96 miles an hour. And like I told you earlier, you don't have to think. You just get there and you throw the ball.
Right.
So my arm was still fine. But when I went back up with the Giants later that year, they had Frank Schellenbach, who was the pitching coach. And he and Herman Franks, they had tried to change my delivery because I was never wild, but the ratio of strikeouts to walks was still 2-1, but I'd be walking four guys a game. I wasn't wild, you know, when you think of wild, you think of a guy throwing it here and in the dirt and over the guy's head. I was just always wild, high and away. And they had tried to change my delivery. And, I'm figuring, here's guys with 50 years of experience in the game, who am I to question, what they're trying to tell me. So I went with them where I used to throw directly over the top. They wanted me to throw three quarters, and it just totally screwed up my rhythm. And I was, actually, from that point, I was never the same again.
Mm-hmm. So when you came back in 65, they immediately started working with your delivery before you even pitched, or as you were going?
No, they just... Mm-hmm. Actually, they worked on it in spring training.
Okay.
And then... You know, whenever you get to a point where there's a little pressure on, you always go back to the old way that you had done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in between a rock and a hard place, and I could never find my rhythm again. I think to this day, I've never hurt my arm. My arm is probably as strong today as it was
really?
30 years ago. But if you don't have that rhythm, if you don't have everything in your body working together, it doesn't matter how good your arm is if the rest of your body isn't working.
Well, the mechanics,
that's exactly what it is.
It's emotion and it's everything else, your legs, your body, your hips, everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And if one of those things are just a little bit off, it throws everything off. That's what happened.
The record shows you had no record in 65, and although your ERA was just a little over 3, not bad by today's standards, or any standards, really. How did 65 end? Did Herman Franks or anybody talk to you at the end of 65 when the season ended?
No.
I understand the Giants had a fairly good year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, both 64 and
65. Both years are pretty good.
Yeah.
In fact, only like 2-3 games out of first in 64.
Well, we ended up, I think it was 1 game out.
Right. I think that was the year when the Cardinals came out at the end. The Phils died.
No, yeah, and the
Dodgers came. They tied with Cincinnati. And then I think the Giants were behind Phils and Cincinnati.
To tell you the truth, you know, you're talking a long time.
Okay.
But I know one year we were like 1 game out, and the other year we were like 1.5 or 2 games out.
Right. Well, anyway, so they're pretty it was the Dodgers in 65 of 1. You guys are probably in second at that point.
Yeah, but I know St. Louis was in there.
64, St. Louis won it. Right.
And then I thought it was the Dodgers that were in second, but it could have been 65.
Right.
But it was just, at that time I'm saying, earlier, what else do I have to do to stay there? And but I had what they had done when the day before the last day of the 65 season. Well, in fact, a game in Chicago, Don Kissinger hit a line drive off my instep and broke the small bone on the inside of my foot, which is probably the only time that I was actually injured in all the years that I played, up until the last year. But then since we were out of the pennant race, Herman told me when I got to the ballpark that I was pitching that night. And my last game in the majors was against Cincinnati, and it wasn't a good one. That's okay. Another memorable day.
Oh, okay. All right, so 65 is over. They tinkered with your motion and everything. How did 66 start?
Well, 66 I actually started with the Giants. And I went to spring training with them. I opened the season with them. And Herman once again called me in the office, and they said, well, we don't want you to just sit up here. You can do this for a month, or you can go down to Phoenix and pitch. And I chose to pitch. Even if it was in the big leagues, I didn't want to stay there and sit on the bench. I wanted to pitch.
Is Phoenix the PCL too?
Right. Okay. Phoenix, we moved from Tacoma to Phoenix in 66. So I went there, and it was a so-so year. Nothing spectacular happened, and I just sort of lived through that year. And I think it was like that's when I start to see that maybe there was a writing on the wall that the Giants didn't really care for me. But I had found out later from one of their top scouts that San Diego had wanted me. They were just coming into.
Right, they started in 69, San Diego.
Yeah, but they were, their organization was interested in me. A couple of scouts had talked to me. And then, the next couple of years were sort of just there. My dad had died the next year, and actually I came back to the Eastern League. I had played 64, 65, and 66. I played in the Coast League. And my dad had died, and Rosie Ryan, who was the general manager of the Tacoma Club at that time, and now with Phoenix, he said, well, okay, you can go home, but you have to be back in 3 days. And my mother just wasn't ready, just to have the world stop like that. Mm-hmm. I stayed an extra day, and when I got back, I was sent back to the Eastern League.
Really?
I think that
penalized you, you think?
I think that's the main reason. I can't, there's no way to prove it, but, I was throwing pretty well in spring training and all, but you didn't defy Rosie Ryan.
Okay, so the Eastern League, what's the team you're on in the Eastern League?
Waterbury,
Connecticut. Okay. Contrast that league to PCL.
Well, it was
about the same in terms of caliber of play?
They said it was a pitcher's league. The Eastern League was always a pitcher's league.
Mm-hmm.
Even years ago, when I had played in Springfield in 1963, that was the Eastern League, they would send their pitchers there, and they would send their hitters to the Texas League in El Paso. And I had a very good year that year. And
this is 67. Right.
And the Giants brought me back. Let's see, the Giants brought me back to Phoenix in 68 again.
Okay.
And that was just the same, mediocre. What was to be my last year?
68 was your last. Okay. How did it all end then in the PCL then?
Well, I went to spring training in 1969 with the Giants, and to be very truthful, I can't really even remember anything about that year.
Uh-huh.
As far as spring training. All I know is that you never wanted to see your name on the board in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And here I had spent from 60 was the first year when I graduated from school, and here it was 69, and I saw my name on the board. And I went in, they told me I was released, and it was another very memorable day.
Okay. So now you're gone. Now they cut
you
loose.
Now I'm gone. It's I'm probably at the lowest point in my life. And now my wife and I and two children pack up our station wagon and head from Arizona back to New Jersey. And when I got home, I got a call from Pete Peterson, who was with Pittsburgh, and said that they were very interested in me, and they heard that I was released. But before I got to talk to him again, Minnesota club called me. They were in Denver, and they said they're interested in me, and they would like me to come to Denver to play. So that was, I was home for about 3 days, and I
left back out to Denver. Okay, what league is that?
That's Coast League.
Also the PCL.
Yeah.
Wow, so you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you recall your manager at Denver?
Yeah, Don Heffer. My pitching coach was, Red Ruffing.
Really? Red Ruffing was your pitching coach at Denver? Okay.
That's just another big score.
Oh, I'm sure.
That made the season.
I bet it did. Tell me a little bit about Red Ruffing.
Red is, Red liked to talk about himself.
Oh, yeah? He was a great hitter. Did he like to talk about his hitter?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean,
for a pitcher, he was a tremendous hitter.
Oh, yeah. But he was a nice man. Very sweet man. But like I said, he would love telling stories about himself.
Really?
Yeah. It was quite interesting.
Did he tell you any that you remember?
Just stories.
I went on about the Yankees in the 30s and 40s, that kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, you know, we're the greatest, I'm the greatest. No, it was... The thing was, I mean, he really enjoyed telling you the story, and half the time you didn't know if they were true or not because you didn't know anybody that was around there anyway.
Right. Well, he had quite a career.
Oh, sure he did.
He really did a Hall of Famer and everything else, and he really had some career. So, how did it go with Denver then? What was
Denver? I had a good season with them, and. The next year, I got a contract in the mail, and Denver had changed their affiliation to Evansville, Indiana, of the American Association, and that's where I ended up in 1970.
In 70, so you started with Evansville.
Right.
They're still under the Twins, Minnesota Twins, right? Right. Okay, so...
Once again, I had a fairly good season. I think I was 9-11, but we're on teams now. Up to this point, you have to understand that I have never been on a winning team. I'm going into my 11th year without ever being on a team that probably even outside of the Giants
right.
at that time ever was on a team that had a winning record. And I think I ended up 10-11 that year. Yeah, once again, it's a blur.
It is a while ago.
But for 10 and 11, that was a pretty good year. I can't remember how far out we were, but I know we were out.
Oh, so it was a bad year at team-wise. Okay.
One of my teammates, though, that year was Wyland.
Oh, is that right? So he was on his way up with the Twins then?
He was a 19-year-old.
Yeah, he was a phenom. A young kid.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I would follow Bert in the rotation. And so we would have to sit behind home plate and chart, the night before we pitched.
Right.
And it just never ceased to amaze me, the curveball that we had.
Right.
Great to this curveball. Day, greatest I've ever seen.
Really? Yeah. I'm sure it was a great
And he also had a great fastball.
Oh, yeah.
People never gave him the credit for that, but he had great control, great fastball, great curveball, and for a 19-year-old kid, he was just totally amazing.
Quite a career.
Yes,
hung around a long time.
Sure
it says a lot. So then, Evansville, not a good year team-wise. You say you were 10-11 as far as you can recall.
Right.
How did that season end?
Well, it was on a happy note. I went home and I got a contract again. Evansville bought my contract the next year, but it became Milwaukee Organization.
Milwaukee Brewers?
Right.
Right, okay.
So I had played in 1971 there, and I think I ended up 13-11, and I led the league in wins. And we ended up 25 games out of first place.
Oh, really?
Del Brando was my manager.
Right.
Jim Slayton had been one of our
pitchers. He was a pitcher for the Brewers for years.
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of that year, I said, here I'm leading the league in wins with being 25 games out of first place. Once again, what do I have to do to get back to the major leagues? And at that time I said, well, I'm going to give it one more year. This is going to be it, because I can't do anything else. It's happened to me before, and it's happening to me again. Here you're at the top of the minor leagues, and there's nowhere else to go but the big leagues, and you lead the league in wins, and they still don't give you a chance. So they invited me to spring training the next year, which is, I think, is like, okay, here's a pat on the back for having a good year, with no intention of keeping me there.
This is 71 now?
Well, this is 72 spring training.
72 spring training, with Evansville.
Right. So, so we go back, and Daryl Porter was our catcher then. We had an excellent team, and we ended up winning the American Association that year.
So you're on a winning team, kind
of. Right, and that about 2 months before the season ended, I had said that this was going to be my last year, 13 years of playing. And I more or less had convinced myself that no matter what happened during the year, that I was going to retire, and I did.
Okay, so nobody asked you to come back or anything?
Well, my wife and I were just about ready to go to bed one night on a Sunday night, and the phone rang about 11 o'clock, and it was Jerry Adair. I don't know if you remember Jerry.
I heard him play for Baltimore, second baseman. Right. Right, okay.
He called me up, and he said, Dick, he said, Mike O'Rourke, who was my manager the last year.
At Evansville.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, when I was saying earlier that, you know, that was really, I had been injured twice, and this, I had what they would call in football as a hit pointer.
Okay.
I collided with the first baseman, and it's just like this very sharp pain, and I was injured when I was a child, and I had a plate in my hip, and it was just very hard for me to turn and to make, to throw with my natural motion, so I started throwing up like submarine.
Really?
And that's a joke, because I couldn't pitch.
Yeah.
And we went, what was then called, it was the first minor league Little World Series, they called it, and it was in Honolulu when they took the winners of the Pacific Coast League, the American Association, the International League, the Cuban All-Stars, Hawaii All-Stars. There was one other team, except I can't remember what it consisted of. But there were six teams that went to this Little World Series. And I almost got into the game throwing under here, but evidently Mike had told Jerry Adair about how well I was throwing again. I was throwing as hard as I was years ago.
Really?
But on the submarine.
Submarine style.
And there was never, as far as I can remember, never left-handed that did that. But like I said, anyway, Jerry had called up, and my wife heard me talking to him. Of course, he asked, what did he want? I said, well, he offered me a job pitching. And she said, where? I said, it's the greatest place. And she said, Hawaii, because she knew how much I loved Hawaii. And I said, no, even better. And it was Japan. He wanted me to play in Japan. The price and the benefits were incredible.
Really? So did you go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I said, for
you
two
said
months.
You said, you stuck by it.
For 2 months, I said, now that's it. I had two daughters. When you're on the road for those 13 years, you want a home. And every year when I came home, I would install a park to keep in shape. So I had a good job when I came home, and I'm still doing it today. But I had convinced myself, and I said, no, I can't second-guess myself. And to this day, I never have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it'd be easy to sit here and say, well, maybe I could have been a star. But
well, going to Japan's a big step. That's hard.
Yeah, not but I mean, for a pitcher, I heard it's extremely tough. But like I said, my arm has always been strong, and I probably could have endured it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, I might have made a bigger fool of myself.
Well, did you stay active in the game after that, coaching or anything else?
I coach and I help Art Rooney, who's very big here in Point Pleasant. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think he's a Detroit bird dog or a scout in Detroit. He had coached the Jersey Shore League and the Senior League, and I helped Art for a few years, and that's where I had helped Rob McDonald. But I love the game, but I can't sit here and watch it on TV.
I see.
In fact, I played in the over 50 league this summer for the first time in over 50.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I don't read about it in the paper.
I wanted to ask you a couple of things about the Giants. Alvin Dock was a manager when you come up, and how did he leave being the manager from 64 and then Herman Franks taking over 65? Did he resign or was he fired?
Well, he was fired. I think it was, you know, this is only what someone else has said to me, and I think it was misquoted, is I think that Alvin had made the statement when there was a black player or a Cuban player that had been injured, and I think that he had made the remark of, well, it takes them a little more time to recuperate. Meaning,
I've heard about that.
Meaning that their bodies were different than ours. You know, I mean, like their muscle, whatever it was. Like I said, this is only what other people have told me.
Right.
And I think it was just misquoted, and the next thing you know, Alvin was gone. Mm. I don't think there was any maliciousness in the quote. I just think that it was misquoted as a lot of things.
And it was taken almost as a racial slur.
Right.
Or maybe that they take a little longer to heal because they're lazy or something to that effect.
Maybe that's the way they put it, but I mean, it's just that I guess their muscle structure or something, what he was trying to say, mm-hmm. it was a little different than maybe, a Caucasian player.
Okay.
Now, I don't know where Alvin would get that, and I don't even know if that's the quote that he used.
Tell me about Alvin Dock. How was he as a manager?
I mean, I loved the man because, I mean, he gave me the chance.
Right.
And he, of course, would have been in a lot of pressure because, like I said, Philadelphia mm-hmm. was in first place. And,
right. It was a big
pennant
race.
And he stuck with me, and he evidently knew that I could handle the job, and I thought that I did. And, it's all water under the bridge, but I think if Alvin had stayed there, it probably would have been an entirely different ball game.
How did you like him as a manager? Obviously, I guess
him. I loved him.
Yeah. Did he?
I thought he was a very baseball guy. I mean, you know, you sit and, being a starting pitcher, you're sitting on the bench for 3 days. While you're not pitching, and you watch the moves that he makes, and which doesn't mean that I'm a great manager, but I mean, like, I would sit there in amazement that most of them would work.
Right. Now, contrast him to Herman Franks, although I'm sure you weren't crazy about Herman Franks because of his tinkering with your delivery.
I think the reason why that I wasn't crazy about Herman was that the only words he ever spoke to me was lefty or gone down. And the whole time I knew him, that's the only thing he ever said to me.
Really? He didn't communicate too much?
Right.
I want to ask you about a few of your teammates. You had a few teammates. I wanted to ask you...
I had some great teammates.
Right, you sure did. But I want to ask you about one very unusual teammate, a Japanese player, a Japanese-born player. Do you remember him?
As I speak,
okay.
Oh yeah, I still we keep in contact after all these years.
Tell me about it. His name is Masanori Murakami.
Yeah.
Tell me, I have this card too. Tell me about him and how it was for him to be in the United States.
Well, when he came with us, he only spoke about one word of English.
Yeah, that's how did they communicate with him?
Well, the funny thing was when I had joined the Giants, we both joined the same day, and Tom Howard, who was our catcher, we went to New York, and of course, being the first and only Japanese player.
That's what I'm saying. How did they?
When he came to New York, well, he had an interpreter.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He brought somebody with him?
Well, the Giants had a couple of scouts that were from Japan. So, you know, that's the only way possible. I mean, there's no way otherwise.
Right, sure. Okay.
But I have a very interesting story if you'd like to hear
it. I really do. Go ahead, please.
But when he came to New York, of course, he had all the photographers and the media were around him, and Tom Howler had come up to him and said, "Hey, wait a second, are you giving this guy all the attention? Here's a guy in your backyard that you're ignoring." You know, but we called him Mushy.
Yeah.
And he was a really nice guy. And like I said, we still communicate every year.
He started learning English?
Oh, yeah, he's much better. In fact, he wanted to come and see me the next time he was in New York. He called me a couple times.
Right.
But he, the funny story about it was that one day he came in relief and he was out on the mound and Herman Franks had gone out to him and said, Mushy, you know, so-and-so, and all of a sudden, you see Murakami go like this. Well, evidently he took him out of the game, and we found out later that I think it was Ron Herbel or someone had said to him, when Herman comes out to the mound to take you out of the game, you say, "Take a hike." And that's what he did.
So he was telling him to take a hike.
Yeah, he came out and Murakami goes, "Take a hike."
Wow, that's interesting. How did he enjoy being in the big leagues and everything? Did he have a good time of it?
He had a lot of fun.
It was hard for him, though?
No, it wasn't hard for him.
No.
You know, he learned, I would say, by the time the season ended, he learned about 10 minutes. but I mean, he got along, and there was no problem. Always had a smile on his face, never had any problem. But he just, the next year, he went back to Japan. And I think that probably that he was under contract there. He's now coaching or managing in Japan to this day.
That's interesting. So he just continued to play in Japan then?
Right. Yeah. He went back to Japan. And, you know, he was a star and, I guess, accomplished. Well, what I can't believe to this day, and you're saying that you have that card too.
I do.
That the card isn't worth a lot of money,
Well, it's worth a little more than a common.
Well, it's history. They always say I'm that other guy on the call.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about some of the other teammates. If you could tell me a story or two about them, their records kind of speak for themselves. When you come up in '64, I believe Duke Snyder was on the Giants.
Yes.
Do you remember Duke? And
let me tell you, I'll tell you right offhand. When I was a kid growing up, idols.
Who?
My dad was, of course.
Right. Was he a big fan of your father?
Yeah.
Who was he? Was he a fan of?
Well, no, he was just a fan.
I'm saying, was he a great... Right, he was a fan of yours. Was he a baseball fan, I'm asking your father?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, we were both Giant fans.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, I even played on Little League Giants. But I had idols. I had my father, Willie Mays was my idol. Duke Snyder was my idol. Warren Spahn was my big idol.
Really?
And Ernie Banks. And course, my father speaks for himself, but I played with three of them and played against one of them.
Yeah.
And it was probably the greatest thrill that I could ever handle.
What about Duke Snider? What kind of a guy was he?
Duke Snider was outstanding. My wife loves him.
Yeah?
He was just such a nice man. And it was odd.
He was at the end of his career at that point.
Oh, yeah, sure. It was odd for me because being a Giant fan all my life and being a Dodger hater, you couldn't help but like Duke.
He's a great player.
Oh, he was certainly was. But I mean, as a man, he was just tops. A plus in that game.
About one or two, a few more actually. How about Orlando Cepeda? He was with the Giants. And
Orlando Cepeda?
He had a couple of great years when he came up with the Giants.
Oh, he sure did. He just, he was another nice man.
Did he speak good English at the time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Orlando and I got along very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was funny.
Yeah.
He was extremely, he had a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people didn't realize that. I think they saw a more serious Orlando from the bleachers, but in the clubhouse, he was very humorous.
He had some great years with the Giants, and I'm ready to go. Okay. How about the Alou brothers? You played with Jesus, right?
I played with Jesus.
I think Philippe had just...